Kia ora, welcome to Asian in Aotearoa, the season finale.
Whoop whoop.
I'm Jenna and I'm joined by a very special guest today, Amitha Kala.
Hello,
welcome,
everybody.
Do you want to do a brief self-intro?
I suddenly had an instinct to be like, welcome back. Yeah, it feels so good. The mace intro.
Yeah.
First of all, my day started with receiving the email about Ankita's episode.
Yes.
Only for me to already have planned brunch with her today in the morning. So I woke up, listened to the episode, had brunch with her, and I'm now here to record mine, which is
full circle.
And I was telling her before how it feels as if the first time I ever said yes to community work was coming on the podcast originally. Because back then I was like, who am I to come on the podcast? And you were like, well,
hello.
Yeah, we can just chat. And ever since I said yes, then all of these opportunities, because then you put me in touch with Where the Asians At for Soundscape.
Oh, yeah.
That was my first community event that I was part of. Then it was Storio. Then it was just like this conundrum. But it all started with that episode, because when it came out, I even shared my poem.
That's right.
Yeah. So it was like the beginning of taking up space, and now we're coming back when I'm like immersed in the space has been taken. I'm in Metro. Space is being taken.
Yes, I love that.
Wow. Was I even living alone at that point? No, I was still living with my ex-partner.
Yeah,
it was like on the cusp of goddess era.
Yeah, because we met and I think you had broken up, you were just
deciding.
It was very sad in return vibes.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah. So now it's completely different. And what I love is learning more about the community space, learning more about, and like just gushing. And I feel like I'm in your boat where you just want to gush over the incredible talent of our community. Mm. And I'm just like, that's literally my reaction every time I see someone on Instagram who's doing something. It brings me so much joy. And that's why I also love this podcast, because then you get to learn about it in another way. It's very marketing, you know, when you're like, yes, Instagram, all the different ways. And I want to see the documentary series. And I want to read the articles. And I want to listen to the podcast episode. So it's great that we're like amplifying each other so we can create, you know, the celebrity culture. I'm doing quotation marks, but like turning it into gushing on supporting local and being like, whoa.
They don't go shit. Yeah.
Yeah.
So the last 12 episodes, including this one, have been made possible thanks to Foundation North, Creative New Zealand, and Big Fan.
Mm-hmm.
For the last episode of the season, I thought it'd be cool to intentionally reflect on the season for you and I to catch up, and to also answer some questions that a couple of guests from the season have sent through.
Sounds wonderful.
Yeah?
I can't wait to also just, because I feel like having the perspective and witnessing you and perhaps how I witness your work and what it's done for me, and then loving seeing what you're doing. You know what I mean? The permission that this podcast is giving people. Because that's what I've been finding is people are looking for permission to be themselves.
Yeah.
And when we hear and when we be vulnerable and when we, all of the guests are so open, so vulnerable, and that each time that gives us permission to, you know,
yeah,
the ripple. What we call it, the healing. You do something and then the healing ripple be rippling.
The ripple be rippling.
Yes. End quote.
Thank you for the kind words. Yeah, it's a weird time, I think, because the season, we'll start talking about it. Let's just get into it.
Because I know you said that you might not be recording for a while. And yeah. I was going to ask how you're feeling about it.
Yeah.
But we can...
Yeah, well,
spoiler.
Let's talk about that.
Little teasers. Stay tuned for more.
Coming up next. Because this season, which has been funded, was for 12 episodes, this being the 12th, and it's been great. But I am feeling like I need a break.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. I don't know when the next episode will be.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think maybe this is just classic end of the season vibes.
No, it's for me that stuff sort of comes up when I am depleted and old programming takes over.
Oh yeah.
And so then you notice, oh, that's what a previous version of me. Yeah, you start to diminish yourself, you start to critique yourself, and that's the when I'm depleted.
This is I think this is depletion talking. As in, I've just done a season of 12 episodes and I'm excited to have the opportunity to kind of pause and reset.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think that that's also so valid. And I think that if you, you know, it doesn't have to be like, I'm either in or I'm out. It's giving, that's actually something I've been dealing, the grappling of with like, do you only allow yourself rest once you've like reached burnout? And then do you feel guilty for taking the rest if you haven't reached burnout? And yeah, I feel like bringing the rest in, like even with Auntie's House, when I was looking at the year, I've got purposeful months where I'm like off.
Yeah.
Like, no events.
Yeah.
And that's like fine. And yeah, it's needed actually.
Yeah.
It actually meets more so like me understanding my work process. And so not demonizing the 9-to-5, the hustle, the grind of capitalism of being like event every month and da-da-da-da-da. It's actually, that's not how I want to work.
Yeah.
And this month is no event.
I'm going to play, this is actually really relevant to Abby's question. I'm just going to play it.
Okay.
Kia ora, Abby here. I was actually reflecting on the topic of burnout and toxic work habits from my episode in the podcast. I guess I wanted to ask how everyone else is coping and going, you know, like those who were on the grind like me last year or are still deep in it or recovering as of now. I'm happy to report I'm getting at least 6 to 7 hours of sleep now, and I've replaced my workload of art and music with physical fitness instead. But yeah, you know, regardless of where you are, yeah, you should be proud of where you are and what you're doing.
Period. Period. I think also that feel like I wonder if that's a similar theme with like the Asian immigrant experience of how our parents and the pressure to succeed and not really allowing ourselves to even look at the option of rest. Even our holidays were not rest. I said there was a schedule.
Yeah. How are you coping at the moment?
For me, it's one. Now, everybody, I have a therapist. Everything that I feel like comes into my life is for a lesson and for a reason. And the burnout thing has been a really great opportunity for me to start advocating for my own needs and boundaries. So when I notice an emotion, typically my first emotion is anger. I'm always like, the audacity, especially when somebody's like gone over a boundary. And then I'm realizing they just don't know. And I've got to do all of this stuff in my own head. Like I never just respond from an unregulated place. That's a previous version of me. Sorry if you had to deal with that. But now I'll like do whatever I need to do to regulate, whether that be just talking it out, screaming it out, punching it out. I love what Abby said to physical exercise it out too. That's a little spoiler for joyous movement. But yeah, I see it as an opportunity for me to get really, really good at letting people know that, oh my gosh, thank you so much for your message. Just letting you know that this is my actual capacity. Versus a previous version of me would have just tried to make it all fit and to make it work.
Yeah.
How's it been for you?
I'll be coping better when the season is over, which will be done after this episode.
No, I totally get that. I feel like last year I was like, November 3rd, because that was the last Auntie's House event. Keep climbing that mountain.
Yeah.
Yeah, I get that with that little ebb and flow.
That's what it is, the ebb and flow.
But what I don't like is the culture of having to get to burnout before you allow yourself the rest. So I was noticing my own, because I've got a history with extreme control and then extreme no control. I was like, ooh, a little pattern is emerging in this work culture. Because I was like, interviews, the press, and then events, and then getting flown to Dunedin to talk at Otago University.
Amazing.
All these little things, and then noticing, oh, I'm waiting for November 3rd. And then after November 3rd, I describe it as when you let your battery die, like your iPhone or your phone die, and then you plug it in to charge, and it doesn't just turn on automatically. It's like still a black screen, and it shows that lightning bolt.
That fucking red battery going blant, blant.
And that's how I felt after all of the events and all of the thingy. I was like, I couldn't. Mm. It was such like dead. Mm. And I was like talking to my therapist about it. I was like, I don't like that relationship of working like heaps and then being like absolutely dead. Like, why don't I charge it at 20%? You know?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Why am I waiting till it's dead? Zero, kaput.
And I think for me and the season, it's been a really silver lining. A really good lesson for me has been, you know what, next time I'm not going to be doing a season of 12 episodes.
12 episodes? What was I thinking?
What was I? And do you know what? I think I just wanted to deliver more. It was an opportunity to get funding. I'd never been successful on funding before, so I'm like, oh, I can do 12.
And they all had to be published. Like, you know, there's something, I'm still new to the funding world, and I know there's this whole 12-month Cinderella moment.
There is a window of when the work has to impact.
Mm, yeah.
So, I mean, in saying that, maybe I could have done less, but Asian hair, I'm going to fucking deliver on what I say.
You know what else I can do? Yeah, make a movie. They're like, okay. Are you sure?
So I really pared it back. Simplify, 12 episodes. Now that I've done it, I'm like, simplify again. Who knows what it'll be?
Yeah.
How do we get onto that? So.
Oh yeah, burnout.
Yes, I'm super stoked for Abby to hear that she is prioritizing herself.
I also want to talk about scarcity mindset, which comes in heaps with my work on being able to also acknowledge when opportunities get offered, it's okay. Like, if it doesn't work, don't try to make it work when it doesn't work. You know, like, value your time and your rest and advocate for your needs, because that's what I found last year. I was like, okay, ooh, I was coming from a scarcity mindset of like, this is my moment, and if I say no, then I'm gonna regret it. And because that was coming from the assumption that nobody else is ever going to ask me to do anything ever again.
Yeah.
And that time and time again, that's not the case.
Yeah.
Almost every week I get something in the Auntie House DM about something else. Yeah. This is the mindset of, but perhaps there's a little bit of that at play where we need to be grateful for the opportunity. So how could you say no?
No, you got to be okay with saying no.
But they're cool opportunities. That's the thing.
Yeah. What are you judging on? Say you've got multiple opportunities coming at you. How do you choose what to say yes and no to?
Divine timing all day, every day, intuitive flow all day.
Intuition, how am I feeling in my body? Yeah.
Literally that. I will literally just sit with it and be like, how is it feeling? Does it feel right? Is the flow there? And that's how I mostly do things now.
I feel like a lot of this, like, recentering culture, recentering and moving away from Western European ideologies has allowed us to, like, tap into that frequency a whole lot more. And once we, like, tapped in, yeah, the universe isn't conspiring against you. Like, even when I think I've made, like, a wrong decision. Oh, but I don't think, I hardly think that anymore. If I do, it's from a depleted state and a different version of me is in the room.
I hear you. Ankita actually sent through some good questions.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to read some out. What are you sick of talking about in the Asian community? What kind of conversations would you prefer to be having?
That's a good question.
Mate.
How do you feel?
When I read this question, the first thing I thought about was the conversation I had with Erica on her episode. And she was talking about rote narratives and, like, the Asian thing about, I went to school as a kid.
And the lunchbox thing. Yes, I remember that.
I get it, you know. No, what do you think?
I think it's a hard question because we have to assume that not everybody is in the same part of their journey. And so, for example, for me, and a lot of people don't realize this, is not that long ago I only had white friends. So the most basic, somebody who might be in this realm for ages would be like, we've had that conversation. But I'm like, oh my God, I'm only just learning about this stuff now. And oh my God, I resonate with that experience. And I feel like all of the conversations are, like, valid, but perhaps the people who have been, there can be, like, levels. Not levels, that's a weird way to phrase it.
Different parts of the journey.
Like different parts.
They're discovering, they're like, oh my God, that was racist when I was a kid. You're so right in saying that. You're right. When I started this podcast, I'm like, yeah, tell me about that. But now I'm like, I don't even want a podcast with Asian in the name.
Oh, interesting.
No, I mean, not
you
really.
You feel like it pigeonholes the conversation.
I think to her question where she says, what kind of conversations would you prefer to be having?
Mm-hmm.
I am now more interested in what kind of healing are you doing? Mm. Like, what are you discovering about your ancestry? Less about, I got yelled at on the street for being Asian.
Let that be the baseline.
I think I'd rather have conversations with people who are wanting to uplift Māori Pacifica communities,
yeah,
for example.
The solidarity aspect, all of the intertwines of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not interested in like, this is just about uplifting Asians. Like, it's just, that is not the way for us to get justice.
Or like, it's nice to have safety, like it's nice to have a safer space for a, like what the Nantes House I called this, we are trying to make sure that this priority group, which are BIPOC queer, feel safe. And so it's always like safety for who? And in like, it's like
context.
Yes, yeah. Context. So that's why I think having Asian in the name is nice, because it feels like nice to hear from Asian practitioners on their lived experience.
In saying that, because when I did start the podcast, I remember someone was like, why does it have to be Asian? because it's generic enough, and also it can hold us together too.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, if you resonate with the kaupapa, and it's like, you're welcome. Everyone's welcome. It's an inclusive space, but we are here to uplift this community, because historically this community has not had this sort of like enliftment, and it's nice for it to be coming from other Asians versus waiting for. I feel like we might think that we're far in this journey, but when you go into the mainstream, that's still not the case.
Yeah.
Wait, they actually do need to hear about the lunchbox. I know. Story. They need to hear about that, actually. Settle in, Tom.
You're right.
When you were like, oh, what are you eating? That really hurt my feelings. And set a trajectory of never eating that for a long time.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah.
Another question. Great question. What's a hard truth we need to face in the Asian/South Asian community? I think we need to realize how much privilege we do have if we're looking at a system of white supremacy in this country. Because there are many people, if we're talking mainstream, who are like punching down.
Always. I don't, it's just, it baffles me. And I feel like recognizing the land that we're on.
Hello.
Yoo-hoo. Land back. That's why I really loved, who was it? Oh, what's their collective? But the Asians who inform about titiriti?
Asians supporting Tiranga Tiranga.
Yeah, it's in the name. How could I forget? Yeah. I love.
Yeah.
They cop up as a man. Yeah. It's so informative in a non-shame way.
Yeah.
It's like, here are the facts. Do with that as you will. And it's really great for us to like then be clued in. Because even with this, what I've been finding reflecting with Palestine, it's just like how we're all, like nobody is free until we're all free.
Yeah.
And when will we understand that? Like, yes, we might be viewed as good immigrants because we are like model minorities because we're here for the system. We can work.
Yeah, we can work.
But actually, we're just cogs in this big capitalist colonizing patriarchal machine, and like recognizing that part that we're playing in, not like what are we doing to actually change it?
What does everyone talk about? This is another one of her questions. She's sent through a few. Love. What does everyone talk about but never say in public? Related to what's a hard truth?
I think it's the work culture. I feel like everybody assumes that it's just like really great kaupapa because it's like awesome. The end result is awesome. But I've just been finding a lot of these work cultures not to be, like, just to be quite, I call it high cortisol. Like, I'm like,
the
what?
The nervous system is.
Yeah. I'm like, why am I so stressed? Why are we working like this?
And then
it's like, oh my God, the thingy was so amazing. And I'm like, yeah, but I'm very upset. And I'm very.
I know.
And bringing that in. We can bring slowness in. It's just a shift because it's not how it's been done. Flexible working, and that's just been taken to the extreme. I go, when does it end then? Like, flexible working actually just means 24/7 working.
I'm just, I don't know.
You're like, I don't want to say it. You can say it. You can always edit it
out.
I was
toxic and working. You know, we're working really hard. Like, we're working so hard. If we had more money and more funding, would it be better?
100%. Oh, depending on who's leading the waka. Mm. Like, I always feel like whoever's leading the waka is setting the tone for the rest. So if that person has the understanding of, and if all of us are not doing it as a side job, because why is everybody
not side gigs?
Yeah,
we're speaking at my side gig, yeah.
Literally. And that's the same, because that's what I felt. I was doing this in great work, but I was like, oh my god, I'm so sorry. I'm also doing three other jobs right now, and that was my transition phase. I would never do that to myself again, and that's like mother version of me speaking to my own inner child, being like, we won't set up that schedule. We've learned our lesson.
Yeah.
But that was really common. That is just, we're all doing a gazillion, quadrillion things. And it's just not sustainable.
Yeah, it's cooked.
It is.
Is this cool? Is this the gig economy? Is that what they call it?
Because we're all paying each other also, like, all community rates. And so then we're all having to do multiple things. But if we had bigger budget and the person who was steering the waka was, you know, had all that stuff in place, then yes. I reckon. But it's going to take time, and we have to have the privilege of time. And I'm like I want to acknowledge that I'm like in a financially privileged position to be able to take the time to say no to things and to, you know, put pause. Mm. Let that be known that my scarcity mindset of resource hoarding comes way up. They go, with all of our life, you must have learnt, you must resource hoard money. What are you doing? Mm. But I'm addressing that. Someone has to.
Someone. I'm addressing it. I'm glad.
Let it deplete.
Akita asks, do diaspora Asians need to take more responsibility for educating themselves about their histories to better understand decolonization? In brackets, so considering so many of our motherlands were once ruled by the British.
That's what I'm saying. We're not free until we're all free. Mm. We think that we're free, but we're not. We're in this capitalism game, in this grind. We're all playing Monopoly.
And losing.
And fucking losing. We got no houses. All houses are gone.
We're renting.
Yeah. Just take one step, rent. Dad. And what it's way, way powerful, what I'm finding, is with this, like, way we're talking to each other and realizing our power. We're like all stepping into our voice and our power. And I feel like we're all clocking onto it in a global sense. Like, you can see this global shift of empowerment, like the protests, the fact that the stuff in Palestine has been happening for what, 75 years, but only now we're stepping into our power of being like, we can boycott, we can change, we can shift, and things are actually happening. I think once we see that power and then just like becoming a little bit more organized, this is our issue with the left. We are a little bit all over the place. But when we find our voice and organize and we get like whatever, a bagazillion signatures, I don't know how many you need, you know, to make anything happen. I'm still learning about politics. But that sort of stuff is really beautiful to witness.
I love how positive and optimistic vibes. I love the vibes you're giving off right now.
I feel like divine timing. The universe is not conspiring against us at any point. That's something that's really helped me though. Like, it's everything. It's like when I view my life as a TV show, it all, I'm like, oh, that happened in season one and it's making sense now in season three.
Yeah. What are you most excited about? She asks. What gives you hope?
Probably the thing I said. Mm. Just the power that we're all finding. Together we rise. That's my auntie house statement.
Love. She then, for a less serious question, she also asked, do you think Dev Patel is super hot in Monkey Man?
Oh, I haven't seen Monkey Man yet.
I haven't seen it, but like, I've seen the trailers.
I love Dev Patel. Oh,
me too.
He's so hot.
He is so hot.
Yeah. It's actually,
I'm feral for that man.
Yeah. And I feel like this is like a side topic conversation on South Asians in media, but just this year alone, the amount of lead actress, like the lead females of South Asians in like One Day, even the Mean Girls, all that, or like all that stuff. It's like very, I'm just sitting with it at the moment. Because as soon as you get the representation, you're like,
it still feels so like, whoa. Mm. And what that means. Like, I'm hearing a lot more. And I know a lot of other cultures have been through this when the white people discover you and suddenly you've got like Japanese on every T-shirt at Cotton On. And I can feel that happening.
It's coming.
I said, oh, I heard that. I go, is that gonna call on a Skrillex?
Yes, shit, I was listening to that on the way here.
Yeah. Yes. It's coming mainstream. Oh god, they're coming for us. yeah so I hope that they do it in a non-appropriation way, but I hope there's a lot of allies out there in the white community, which I love. Use your voice.
Mm. Okay, Erica has a question.
Mm-hmm.
Kia ora, Jenna. Here's a question for you, something I have been thinking about. Do you think that a political rupture is necessary for a particular identity consciousness to be developed? Because from my observations, I feel that in Aotearoa, this kind of Asian New Zealander identity hasn't necessarily emerged out of a rupturous event like it has in the United States, in the example of the LA riots, but more rather for us that it has emerged more from like a creative, slow creative emergence that is a bit more, yeah, like slow, not like a rupture.
That's the end.
One of those Instagram 1 minute. The end.
Yeah, there's 59. Yeah. The end. Okay. Thoughts?
Well, I don't think that everything has to be in a pressure. This goes back to my previous conversation. It doesn't have to be in a pressure pot for things to change. Mm. But in saying that, big events obviously do catalyze change faster. Mm. But do we need to get... Let's not wait for that to happen.
Let's not. Yeah, we are impacted by global... maybe we're a couple of years behind.
Yep.
Australia and the US.
Yep.
Yeah, let's not have something like that happen here.
No. And at the moment, I would say my focus actually is on specifically BIPOC communities, not really... Like, my scope of community isn't inclusive of like white Europeans at the moment. And I know that they're like the mainstream when it comes to how they're like in my own marketing audience mind, like my target audience in my own mind. If I'm creating any comms, I never have them in my mind, which at the moment that just suits who I'm working for, like in my own community mindset.
Yeah.
So it'd be interesting for me to answer that question maybe in a few years' time, if it's opened up to include like that audience too, because I don't really know them well enough. Because in my mind, I'm like, not to think that change has to happen by trying to change somebody else, because that's another big lesson. Like, we have to change ourselves. That's the only thing that we can focus on, versus like waiting for somebody else to change, which is, I feel like, a narrative that we might be familiar with in terms of like that question. Like, is the only way to change politically waiting for somebody else to change? Like, is that what we're waiting for?
I took that question to be like, is the only way change happens is if there's like some big fuck off disaster?
Yeah.
That blows up.
But do we need that disaster to happen to make them see us differently so they change?
For systems to change.
For systems to change.
Yeah. I don't know, Erica. Why do you have to ask such an intelligent question? It's such a good question.
Yeah, because it goes into that. Yeah, we can only change ourselves. Yeah. And that is the thing that we have to sit with.
Yeah, and I've got to, and I coming from, like, so what has changed me? I think social media has played a massive role.
Yeah.
Because now we're suddenly connected with all these other people.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a massive one for me. Connecting specifically, I think, with Amanda Grace Leo, first guest on the podcast, that was in 2020.
Yeah,
I mean,
it feel like when you have the conversations, you just bring it into your community.
Mm.
Yeah, I found the same. Social media and just like the accessibility to information, because a lot of political information used to really overwhelm me, because I would think that that's too hard for someone like me, whatever that means, whatever that meant to me back then. And now I'm like, oh, it's actually public. It's actually in the public's best interest for all the public to know exactly how laws are made and how they're processed and how things change and how things come about. It's very good that we have people like Renews or all these things, which is such a shame about. I think that's such propaganda for news sources to know. Like, when you start having less news, this is why I'm like, do not get rid of this podcast. Like, what you need, unbiased or lots of opinions of news, otherwise we'll just get like what America has, which is just a propaganda machine of like the evil Middle East, like
the evil China.
Literally, that was their second campaign. Yeah. We did so well on the first campaign. Yeah. Yeah.
Who's next?
Yeah. Hooray. Yeah. And like the biases, because once you see how people are accessing and getting information and then the opinions that they form, yeah, interjecting somewhere and being like, wait, stop. This is actually also what's happening. So you get a more holistic also view in our individualistic driven society. Let's learn about each other.
Let's. Who else had a question? I think David had a question. His one's... I love it. His one's actually nothing to do with being Asian.
Stunning.
Okay, my question is, what's the most fucked up thing you've seen recently in real life? What happened? What was it?
I've got to marinate. Do you have one that you can think of?
It's such a good question because I've seen so much fucked up stuff online. And so... But we're thinking about real life. I was like, what would that be? I mean, and it would help if I left the house more than yeah, I don't know.
It's so hard when I'm in my everything means something for a reason era. So it's so hard.
Is it really fucked up or is it a sign?
Literally. What's the lesson? Universe! Yeah. What's the lesson?
It's so hard. Wait, what was the message?
Yeah. No, for real. And there always is. So I'm like, what is it? I feel like I, but not fucked up, but I guess I'm just trying to think of, and I'm what, it's fucked up given the circumstance of our society and the fact that we're witnessing a genocide happen in real life. And I went to a protest that was silent and they asked us to bring an empty plate because they're starving. Yeah, they're starving Gaza at the moment, which I'm also learning about repeated history of like, this is a common tactic used in genocides. Like if you look at Rwanda and then learning about what's happening there and when Sudan. And I wonder if that information is shared amongst, like that somebody's obviously planned this and has thought about the wider scheme. But what I found really powerful was the community here and the silence of it all and being in a whole group there silent with our empty plates. And they had organized us to do a really cool photo, but there was such great organizing. They're like, everybody, we're going to have one line of 20 down the middle. And then we all matched up. So it was like rows of us. And then we all held up our plates and covered our mouths. And I just remember being like, these are strangers, because I go to a lot of stuff alone because I love it, and I always end up meeting, when you're in community now, like even when I went to the Satellites party alone and then I saw you, like you, I always just end up seeing, I know I'm gonna see somebody. So I'm like, I'm just gonna go and then I can just leave whenever I want, and so it's not like a thing. So I went to the protest alone, always see somebody I know, but it was just like mostly with people who I don't know and we're all here for the same reason. So it was fucked up, but it was beautiful, like simultaneously, like given the circumstance, but like the power of us coming together, like there are all these people that do care and do want to activate change. And we're like, how can we do it? We're going to do this photo shoot. But the, you know, we're witchy woo-woos, and just that putting that energy in and like knowing that the same energy is being put in America, in South Africa, in South America. I've seen protests in all the states. I'm like, surely, come on now. So it's like beautiful, but fucked.
Yeah. What else? Are we going to reflect on the season? Maybe we should do that.
Because 12 episodes, 11. 11
plus this one.
How are you feeling?
I'm so relieved.
Mm-hmm. That's a valid feeling.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good and grateful. I definitely think this is probably, like, it was a solid season. I needed the structure. I needed the structure of, okay, every 3 weeks, this is what I'm going to do. It's been good to have that routine.
Yes.
Even though now I'm like, woohoo. We're going to break the routine for a little bit. But it's been really good. And it's been good to have the theme. So the themes for the season were leadership, creativity, collaboration, and self-love. It's helped to have like some themes, some things to talk to guests about.
Mm-hmm.
And they've all been really amazing.
And you've still done the like some of your like questions of like, do you see yourself as spiritual?
Yeah.
You don't do the card pull.
I don't do the card pulls anymore.
Yeah. But you still do tarot reading.
I do. I don't do them for other people anymore.
Oh, okay.
I mean, it was really great at the time. When I was working part-time, I was in podcasts, I was doing tarot, and like people were paying for that. And that was great. But I just don't really have the capacity.
Yeah.
The capacity spiritually for doing that now. But I still do play with it for myself.
Mm.
Yeah. Yeah. Still use them as a tool for my own stuff.
Yeah. And I know you had your dad on last season.
Didn't
you?
Dad was on for Asian Soundscapes.
Yes.
Yeah.
And have you ever talked to your other parent?
My mom?
Yeah. I don't know.
Do you mean my mom?
Sometimes people.
I love how you're like,
the other
your
person brother. Who birthed. Because I refer to my mother as Jay now. It's a whole, because I broke up with my mother recently. But it's always intriguing to me to hear about other Asian migrants and their relationship to their parent. Would you ever think about? I know that's not even about your thinking.
No,
I'm more
this
curious.
Is good. This is a really good question.
Yeah.
Would I have my mum on? No.
Yeah.
She would probably love to be on. Give her. She loves to fucking talk.
Oh.
She's a mother that will talk at you.
Oh.
As opposed to like wanting a conversation.
Right.
She'll just like, because she's a teacher. She's a primary school teacher.
Yeah.
So she'll just
settle into the monologue.
Get into the monologue sometimes. I'm like, she should have her own podcast for fuck's sake.
Yeah. Do they listen to the podcast?
I don't think they know how to use Spotify. I don't think
so. They don't know this part of you.
Well, Dad and I think all of my family, I think he's seen it to a lot of people, listen to his episode.
Oh, yes.
And they go to, like, they came to the panel event that I had.
Yes.
And they go to all of the things that I, like, end up speaking at. And, you know, they're like, we're so proud. Or, you know, they're, like, supporters in that way.
Beautiful.
But, yeah. And they both follow the Instagram and watch the stories.
Oh, goodness. We're watching.
Yeah, they are watching. Yeah.
Oh, beautiful. I feel like, has anyone ever asked you who would be your dream, what's the word for the person who you interview? Who would be your dream guest on the panel, on the podcast?
I feel like there are so many.
Yeah.
I feel like my 20-year-old self mm-hmm. would love to interview Karen O from the Yee Yee Yes.
Mm-hmm. All of this to say, I feel like I'm here on my propaganda machine of like season 3, season 4, season 5.
Keep it going.
I'm like, it could keep going.
Yeah. I mean, there are so many. I care more about the chemistry and can I vibe with the person?
Yeah.
Because you could be Michelle Yeoh, but if you're not going to talk to me about, I don't know, spirituality, then, you know.
Or like that level of being open
yeah.
and vulnerable.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Which that has really been what I've seen in the episodes is just like that level of vulnerability and openness that everyone's willing to share. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think I said that, right? To
yeah,
find
yeah,
permission
yeah.
to and be that, themselves.
And it comes down to, a bit, again, it comes down to intuition. What do I feel like? Because people do ask if they can come on the podcast.
Oh, cool. I love that for them. Oh, no. You're people, recovering people pleaser, and you're just like, please don't make me say no. I love when people ask, especially for Auntie's House, because it's like us healing our tall poppy syndrome. Mm. It's like, totally, why not ask?
I
It's our boundary. That moment is for us as a recovering people pleaser to meet up, just to, for us to normalize saying no. It's not that deep. It's just like, hey, thank you so much for this. I think it's amazing. It's just not gonna.
And I think that's the other thing, because of the podcast, it's called Asian Aotearoa. I think people do feel like they have a right to. It represents them, which is really interesting, but it's actually quite selfish. Like, these are conversations that I want to have.
But that is your podcast. That makes sense.
I know, but...
But I also don't think that you post yourself that much. As in, like, the perhaps having the no face thing...
Is helpful?
Is not helpful.
Ah.
Because it then removes... We forget who's behind. Like, here's a little about me.
Yeah.
That's why I did that whole intro... I noticed myself doing that too, because originally Auntie's House, I was like, we, even when it was just me. And then when I got asked to do the Otago University panel for Auntie's House specifically, I said, oh, cool. Can you do that as a collaborator post? Mm. And that will be the introduction to who's actually behind the scenes.
Yeah, that's such a good point. I guess I'm also, on one hand, I'm like, this is mine, but on the other hand, there's a part of me that actually I don't want to be known. I only care about the podcast to be known. And I don't think that there's a disconnect. I don't think that can work.
Because then you're doing the classic thing of, like, you know when Mindy Kaling came around and she was the only South Asian person and everyone was going at her being like, how can you not represent us? Like, but that was from her experience. She has one narrative story and she's done it in a few different positions. And that is because that is her lived experience and that's what she thinks of it. And I don't think that that's bad. I just think that there needs to be more other people. But I don't think that Asian Aotearoa needs to be like representation, like all Asians. It's still...
Like, how could it be? I can't.
Exactly. Like... It almost should be Asian Aotearoa hosted by Jenna Wee.
Yeah.
Just so people know...
Yeah.
Almost.
Yeah. I'm like, people start your own podcast. Like, yeah.
Truly.
Yeah.
And then that's why, even with Auntie's House, I'm always like, if you feel empowered, I say to all the events, if you feel empowered, if you feel called, rise up to meet the excitement.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't have to just be one podcast or one collective. Yeah. Let there be an abundance.
Yes.
But still, this podcast is you. And I feel like some sort of acknowledgement on that, like you're even in yourself. That's why I wrote director Auntie, and that was a huge deal for me, is acknowledging who's running Auntie's House. I said, director Auntie. And then I put the evil eye. Please.
Yeah. So if you see some evil eyes on the Instagram page,
I see. Please.
That's the other thing, the evil eye, because that, like, when you start.
It comes with the territory,
it
though.
It does, doesn't it?
Yeah, and that's okay. I'm learning to... We're giving some people so much permission.
Mm.
It just comes with the territory. And we have our toolbox, being spiritual, of protecting ourselves and, like, cleansing to be like, that's not my energy. I've got my little bell on the door to, like, ring, to, like, cleanse the space every time someone enters in or out. All these little things that really help whilst you're taking... Like, that don't stop you from taking up space, because that's the issue, is not enough authentic people are taking up space in Aotearoa.
Has there been, like, a standout episode or guest or insight for you from the past season, or maybe something that you just liked?
I just always love, as a new creative, it is just really great to hear from people who have been in the industry for so long. And I know you started the episode off with Bala, and having seen, I only got introduced, because again, I'm still so new into this. I think I only was introduced to them with Boom Shankar.
Is that the first thing I saw of his as well? Maybe.
Oh, but he's been doing lots of other things.
Oh, he's done heaps.
Yeah, and I just felt like I missed all of that. And then I was like, oh, and then Ballsy, and then Miles from Nowhere. Like,
I haven't seen that yet. I really want to see that.
There's just, we've been blessed with such, and even Pax Society's Raised by Refugees.
Love that show, yeah.
There's just been really great representation lately, and I'm just, like, so eager to see that. But it's great to have the, because you actually have really great, like, people who have in such different stages of their careers. So it's great to hear them talk about that. And even Ankita's episode that I listened to, because even that, just getting that understanding of, because for me coming into it, it felt like magic. It felt like suddenly there's a theater show. and like understanding some of the processes of like development writing and having time and space for like that. And this is how this happens and this is how that happens. And like that has really been cool insight.
Mm. It's funny with Ankita's episode, talk about divine timing. So when I asked her to be on the podcast, like in 2020, like ages ago, it just never worked out. And she like didn't get back to me. And then she said just before we started recording that whenever I'd see her in public, she'd just feel really guilty and couldn't look me in the eye. And I'm like, yo, that is so, it's just so not even on my
That's
a radar.
Recovering people pleaser thing.
Yeah.
To just assume that you then
hate her. Which is
how
so.
How could you say no?
It's crazy. And then when Basmati Bitch was happening, they asked for Ankita to be on the podcast around that time. But at that the timing didn't work out because we hadn't started the season yet, and I wasn't recording. It just didn't work out. And then it's just funny that I feel like divine timing on the podcast, it always works. I just felt right when she was on.
Yeah.
When we recorded was meant to be then.
It always be that way. And let that be the main lesson.
Yeah.
Divine timing.
Yeah. And I think I have been really lucky with guests. It's totally worked out. Like it all worked out.
Yeah.
So I'm really grateful for that because they've been awesome.
Yeah. Good living. Who else did I listen to?
So there has been, okay, so we started with Bala, we had Jean, then I went to Wellington to record with Chris Teese and Ellie Pang, Jack Woon, Eddie, Jess Hong,
oh yeah,
Abby, David Correos,
yep.
Ankita, is that it? Oh, Erica, yeah. Oh. Yeah, so it's been a really good group. Yeah, everyone's been generous and have really answered questions, particularly ones around like spirituality and the self-love bit in really great ways.
I feel like that's also like the self-love stuff is so interlinked with like the society shift because we are learning to love ourselves more. We're knowing our worth. And so then the advocating and the boundary stuff, it all is in conjunction with each other when our inner voices used to be, keep going, like keep go- like I took no sick days off, like I worked 3 jobs when I was your age. It's like, oh, we are allowed to live differently and advocate for the way we want to be living, which is different to you, mom. My mom won't listen to this. She doesn't listen to anything I do. My mom knows nothing about Auntie's house.
Really?
To this day, no compliment is given to me ever.
Does she know that you're doing Auntie's house?
I don't even know what she thinks about my life. Like, she doesn't talk to me about it.
Is she in New Zealand?
She is in New Zealand. Does she talk to me about my modeling? No. Oh, my God.
What do you talk to her about?
No. So I recently broke up with my mother because of this. Not because of this. Just, like, it's where it's been going.
Mm.
Whenever I see her, it goes back into, like, you're a 10-year-old and I'm the mother. So it becomes that dynamic. So for a lot of us, our parents just don't know how to, they don't, this is my big thing. My mother doesn't love herself. So there was no way for her to love me because I'm an extension of her and she can only see the mistakes because she can only see the mistakes in herself.
Yeah.
So of course she's only going to see the mistakes in big quotations on me because there's a perceived way that I need to be as a good daughter.
Oh, that hurts. Yeah.
So it was more me accepting Jay for who she is and being like, oh, I accept you for who you are and I'm not trying to change you anymore. But me accepting you means that I actually don't want to see you. And so I just stated that boundary. She took it okay, actually. She just sent me a message. We'll see. She still sends me messages. I just don't open them now. Because I go, I've sent the email.
When did it happen?
2 weeks ago.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. Because it was school holidays, mom's a teacher.
Oh, your mom's a teacher too?
They love to be teachers. It's a sure job. And in their generation, it makes sense because it was guaranteed work always.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I feel like I've understood why my mom always, every time, is like, you could be a teacher. And every time I'm like, you don't understand me at all.
Ooh,
but it's just this like, oh, I'm trying to give you like survival because this is what I needed to do to survive. I've really taken the time to understand this human. And all of the motivations behind the actions.
Isn't it incredible when you look at your parent and you suddenly see and understand those wounds, and you suddenly get, it, like, something clicks.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, I get it. You're pointing the finger at me and saying this is stuff to do with me, but you get, you actually...
It's truly not, to, like, it's nothing. It's none of my business. None of what is happening is any of my business. And it's not our job to handhold them to, like, change.
Yeah.
Because we've tried that.
Yeah.
Tried that method. Failed.
Do your own work. Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. And what's really helped me is I'm part of Helen Young's My Mama Says research project. And one of the prompts was, it was like the intro prompt, have 6 words to describe you and your mother. And the 6 words that came up for me was disappointment, shame, guilt, burden. And then I think there's something else. And then the last one was silence, because it's like, just like, don't talk about it. Like, if you do talk about it, I know that that Jay gets really activated. So I just was sitting with all the things. And so then I was like, I feel like I talk about Jay all the bloody time, but I never talk to her directly. But I don't want to talk to her face to face, because that's not how we communicate these sort of emotions. So I sat down and wrote an email.
Yep.
And that worked really well. And she received the comms really well. She was like, oh, thank you so much. She even acknowledged that the way that she was treating me might be directed to her own unmet childhood needs.
Whoa.
And I said, exactly, Jay. That's what I've been trying to say this whole damn time. So when she goes on her own journey, I'm intrigued to see. You know, by stopping wearing the mask, which I think was a theme of my episode with you, is like mask wearing all the time, being the perfect daughter mask, being the perfect assimilated Indian mask. Yeah, by dropping the mask, it actually makes everybody feel safer to be more vulnerable. Imagine a society, imagine where we all were authentic to ourselves.
Indeed.
That's what I hope for.
What else? Is there anything else?
Is there anything else you wanted to share about your reflection? Because I feel like that's what this episode is dedicated to.
It was supposed to be.
I feel like your reflection is more about your introspect of the process.
It's honestly, my reflections are more, totally have been about the process.
Which is valid, because I know a lot of us in the arts are having the same thing, where we're like, this can't be the way that we continue going on. Mm. Well, the ones that I've been having anyway, because that's what I've been talking about. I said, is this how you all been doing stuff?
I know. I said,
oh, no.
For real.
Oh. And I come from startup now. And I'm like, even in startup land, we're not like this.
Yeah.
And we're crazy in startup land.
I'm feeling, and it's not negative, it's just all kind of up in the air, which I guess if I reframe that to be, it's exciting because I don't know what's next. If you asked me, where do you want the podcast to be? I actually don't even know.
Mm-hmm.
So I probably need to do some planning.
Or perhaps like that's also okay to exist as well. Some sort of like acknowledgement of not always needing to have. People ask me, they're like, so what's going on with Auntie's House? I'm like, actually, I've just dedicated this year to not work because I'm in a position to do so, and to just like sit with the flow.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I call it fluidity.
Yeah.
Like, let that be okay as well.
Do you know what I just realized? I realized that I think it's my, there is a underlying pressure that I have to do something with the podcast, and it has to be really fucking good.
If I'm going to do it, it needs to be viral. It needs to be.
No one is putting the pressure on, I think. It's all really myself.
Do you feel like it's a comparison thing? Or do you feel like you think about somebody else that you're like, not chasing, but like, do you feel like you're compared? Like, where are you getting the baseline?
No, nowhere.
Nowhere.
Yeah, and I get that has been a theme through the podcast is that we do put pressure on ourselves. If we're going to produce something, it better be fucking good.
Yeah.
Which is totally self-imposed. No one's testing me.
Where's the humanness in that, though? Like, where's the allowance to make a mistake, to maybe not?
But the season has been a major success.
Beautiful.
Which is great. Yeah. So I think I just need to allow myself to, if I can celebrate it.
That's another thing. I'm like, are you giving yourself the moment to celebrate? Because I noticed that when I was stepping into the art realm, and I felt like that was my key thing. I was brought up my therapist. I was like, I have no time to celebrate any of my achievements, because it's the next thing is straight away. And like, when do you, and you almost have to like schedule it in.
Yeah. There hasn't been much celebration.
Besides your live event, that would have been a beautiful Oh, because you're producing it as well is a bit crazy because you're producing it. You don't actually get to.
I'm so glad I did that. Shout out to Eric and Auckland Council. But that was a lot of work. Yeah. And the thing is, and I think that's my inexperience. It really should have been simple. Like, people who do that sort of thing all the time, what a breeze. It was like, what, 2 hour, like 2 hour event? Like, big fucking deal. But I think, again, it's the pressure. Oh, shit. Okay. People got to turn up. And so I'm kind of thinking about, let's produce this thing. Let's do it really well. Mm-hmm. And then once it was over, I was like, hooray. Okay, now I need to edit and release that podcast amongst the normal podcast season.
But there's something about, I think this will be great when you have your break, celebrating, listening to all the episodes. Do you listen to the episodes much?
I mean, I listen to them multiple times when I edit them.
But never again after
that? Sometimes I do.
Yeah, I would.
Yeah.
Listening to them again would be great. Because I feel like for me, I'm in such an ADHD haze when I'm in an event space.
Yeah.
That I'm truly not really, I'm present. But it's hard to remain present because you're like, is the oven on? What time is this happening? Oh, because you're also in producer flow.
Yeah.
But then when you get the space to come back and listen to it again,
yeah.
I found I get some things out of Auntie's House. I look at Auntie House comms and I'm like, that is good. Because you're a different person when you read it again.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
So you're almost like, it's like you're time traveling and yes. meeting yourself.
Yeah.
I recommend listening to all of the episodes.
I will. Has it sounded like really depressing? Have I been like depresso in this episode?
It is also a reflection of just how we're feeling in the arts, of just that like tiredness. Something has to shift for sure. But I think it is a common theme. And that's what you mentioned too. Hey, with this, of that theme of like the grind.
Which, yeah, you know what? I hate the
grind. Like, we're bringing capitalism into, like, didn't we leave that? Dolly Parton. I was talking to Ankita about the propaganda machine, that Dolly Parton 9 to 5 is like a propaganda. I want one. Working flexibly when my energy allows it. Oh my God, come on now. Some sort of like, versus the. Like going against yourself all the time.
In summation though, it's been great. I hope that you've liked it too.
I mean, I feel like as I've said to this again, it's just, and I'll reiterate it, the permission that we give each other when we are authentic, it is so invaluable that you just, it's just not only for other people, but for yourself. Like the stuff that I've got by being authentic is just like when I witness myself and I'm like, oh, I'm that girl. But I forget. And you know when you again, when you're in a depleted state and you forget that you're that girl, you need to get reminded somehow. And the way to do that is to look at the highlight reel.
Wake up!
Just to help.
Yeah.
Sadness is valid too, of course. We have all the emotions.
Yeah.
But just a little, like, oh yeah, that's right. A little less we forget moment.
Yeah, yeah.
Because we're quick to forget who we are when we're in depletion.
Maybe that's it. Anything else? What have we missed?
Well, I don't think we missed anything. I just forgot to give this to you in the start, but I'll record it on camera. On camera. What? I'll record it on thing.
What is it?
I brought you Auntie House's conversation card deck. Cams with a sticker.
Oh my God, amazing.
And a little deck. And I have been loving using them more because I made that deck for the first event. Of course, you know us, classic. If we're going to do an event, there's going to be conversation.
Do you know what? This is what I was like. If I want to do an event, if I had the budget, I want like journaling. I want to be doing coaching. I want there to be like merch bags. I get it.
Yeah, you get it. Exactly. You see me.
I totally get it.
So I love now like coming back to the conversation cards because I was in an ADHD haze when I came up with those 33 questions. But now that I go back to it, I'm like, these are good. Ooh, what'd you pull?
What does it mean to you to be fully present? It's like letting go of having to know all the answers.
Literally.
Because my brain will be going as if I'm going to solve that problem for them. Oh, wait, what's the solution for you? And it's actually not being present if I'm suddenly 10 steps down the track and I've already solved the whole thing for them.
And perhaps the person, all they wanted was the validation of event and not, they weren't looking for any answers.
Yeah.
We forget that
that's
too.
That's my own stuff around, you know.
Am I useful?
Am I competent? Am I competent?
I can help.
Yeah. Just chill the fuck out.
Yeah. I feel like even for me, I'm noticing the difference of the episode that we recorded in season one. I was so anxious, and I remember trying to do research and all this stuff. Versus this episode now, I'm like, I'm on the couch for context, laxed. I'm up. and my nervous system is so much more regulated, which is really great. And that this is now good. After like doing a couple more panel events and all this stuff. It's just like...
These sorts of chats are more fun. So who knows? Season three.
This is what I'm saying. Let's go. And you can sit with how it looks that feels good for you. Because, just because this is the issue, right? We go into like extreme. And then we're burnt out. And then it like it ceases to exist. And you're like, oh.
Yeah.
And then somebody else is the same journey on their rocket. Yeah. Go! And
it's totally that is so okay. It's a pattern. Well, that was really fun. Thank you for joining me.
It's been a pleasure to chit-chat, yap.
Yeah, it has. Thank you so much. And thank you to everyone who has listened to the season.
Listen to it again and again and again.
Listen to it again, because we don't know when the next one's going
to
be.
But also, it's nice to come back to the episodes, and as you don't realize that you will get different things from each of the people, depending on where you're at, too. That's what I found when listening to some of the episodes again.
Thank you. That's the end for now.
Watch the space.
Thank you.
I'm singing your outro song. I've been listening to the episode. I did my homework.